start with Majjhima Nikaya number 9, and this is the Samadhi Sutta, which is the Sutta on right view or effective vision. Thus have I heard, on one occasion the Blessed One was living at Savatthi in Jetta's Grove, Anathapindika's Park. There the Venerable Sariputta addressed the bhikkhus thus. "Friends, bhikkhus." "Friend," they replied. The Venerable Sariputta said this, "One of right view, one of right view is said, friends. In what way is a noble disciple one of right view, whose view is straight, who has unwavering confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma? Indeed, friend, we would come from far away to learn from the Venerable Sariputta the meaning of this statement. It would be good if the Venerable Sariputta would explain the meaning of this statement. Having heard it from him, the bhikkhus will remember it. Then, friends, listen and attend closely to what I shall say." "Yes, friend," the bhikkhus replied. The Venerable Sariputta said this, "When, friends, a noble disciple understands the unwholesome and the root of the unwholesome, the wholesome and the root of the wholesome, in that way he is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has unwavering confidence in the Dhamma and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what, friends, is the unwholesome? What is the root of the unwholesome? What is the wholesome? What is the root of the wholesome? Killing living beings is unwholesome. Taking what is not given is unwholesome. Misconduct in sensual pleasures is unwholesome. False speech is unwholesome. Malicious speech is unwholesome. Harsh speech is unwholesome. Gossip is unwholesome. Covetousness is unwholesome. Ill will is unwholesome. Wrong view is unwholesome. This is called the unwholesome. And what is the root of the unwholesome? Greed is a root of the unwholesome. Hate is a root of the unwholesome. Delusion is a root of the unwholesome. This is called the root of the unwholesome. And what is the wholesome? Abstention from killing living beings is wholesome. Abstention from taking what is not given is wholesome. Abstention from misconduct in sensual pleasures is wholesome. Abstention from false speech is wholesome. Abstention from malicious speech is wholesome. Abstention from harsh speech is wholesome. Abstention from gossip is wholesome. Uncovetousness is wholesome. Non-ill will is wholesome. Right view is wholesome. This is called the wholesome. And what is the root of the wholesome? Non-greed is a root of the wholesome. Non-hate is a root of the wholesome. Non-delusion is a root of the wholesome. This is called the root of the wholesome. When a noble disciple has thus understood the unwholesome and the root of the unwholesome, the wholesome and the root of the wholesome, he entirely abandons the underlying tendency to lust. He abolishes the underlying tendency to aversion. He extirpates the underlying tendency to the view and conceit, "I am." And by abandoning ignorance and arousing true knowledge, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has unwavering confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, "Good friends," the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When friends, a noble disciple understands nutriment, the origin of nutriment, the cessation of nutriment, and the way leading to the cessation of nutriment. In that way, he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is nutriment? What is the origin of nutriment? What is the cessation of nutriment? What is the way leading to the cessation of nutriment? There are four kinds of nutriment for the maintenance of beings that already have come to be and for the support of those about to come to be. What four? They are physical food as nutriment, gross or subtle, contact as the second, mental formations as the third, and consciousness as the fourth. With the arising of craving, there is the arising of nutriment. With the cessation of craving, there is the cessation of nutriment. The way leading to the cessation of nutriment is just this noble eightfold path. That is right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. When a noble disciple has thus understood nutriment, the origin of nutriment, the cessation of nutriment, and the way leading to the cessation of nutriment, he entirely abandons the underlying tendency to greed. He abolishes the underlying tendency to aversion. He extirpates the underlying tendency to the view and conceit, I am. And by abandoning ignorance and arousing true knowledge, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has unwavering confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friends, the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands suffering, the origin of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the way leading to the cessation of suffering, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is suffering? What is the origin of suffering? What is the cessation of suffering? What is the way leading to the cessation of suffering? Birth is suffering. Aging is suffering. Sickness is suffering. Death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Not to obtain what one wants is suffering. In short, the five aggregates affected by clinging are suffering. This is called suffering. And what is the origin of suffering? It is craving, which brings renewal of being, is accompanied by delight and lust, and delights in this and that. That is craving for sensual pleasures, craving for being, and craving for non-being. This is called the origin of suffering. And what is the cessation of suffering? It is the remainderless fading away and ceasing, the giving up, relinquishing, letting go, and rejecting of that same craving. This is called the cessation of suffering. And what is the way leading to the cessation of suffering? It is just this noble eightfold path. This is called the way leading to the cessation of suffering. When a noble disciple has thus understood suffering, the origin of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the way leading to the cessation of suffering, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands aging and death, the origin of aging and death, the cessation of aging and death, and the way leading to the cessation of aging and death. In that way, he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is aging and death? What is the origin of aging and death? What is the cessation of aging and death? What is the way leading to the cessation of aging and death? The aging of beings in the various orders of beings, their old age, brokenness of teeth, grayness of hair, wrinkling of skin, decline of life, weakness of faculties. This is called aging. The passing of beings out of the various orders of beings, their passing away, dissolution, disappearance, dying, completion of time, dissolution of the aggregates, laying down of the body. This is called death. So this aging and this death are what is called aging and death. With the arising of birth, there is the arising of aging and death. With the cessation of birth, there is the cessation of aging and death. The way leading to the cessation of aging and death is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood aging and death, the origin of aging and death, the cessation of aging and death, and the way leading to the cessation of aging and death, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands birth, the origin of birth, the cessation of birth, and the way leading to the cessation of birth, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is birth? What is the origin of birth? What is the cessation of birth? What is the way leading to the cessation of birth? The birth of beings in the various orders of beings, their coming to birth, precipitation in the womb, generation, manifestation of the aggregates, obtaining the basis for contact. This is called birth. With the arising of being, there is the arising of birth. With the cessation of being, there is the cessation of birth. The way leading to the cessation of birth is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood birth, the origin of birth, the cessation of birth, and the way leading to the cessation of birth, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands being, the origin of being, the cessation of being, and the way leading to the cessation of being, in that way he is of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is being? What is the origin of being? What is the cessation of being? What is the way leading to the cessation of being? There are these three kinds of being: the sense sphere being, fine material being, and immaterial being. With the arising of clinging, there is the arising of being. With the cessation of clinging, there is the cessation of being. The way leading to the cessation of being is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood being, the origin of being, the cessation of being, and the way leading to the cessation of being, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands clinging, the origin of clinging, the cessation of clinging, and the way leading to the cessation of clinging, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is clinging? What is the origin of clinging? What is the cessation of clinging? What is the way leading to the cessation of clinging? There are these four kinds of clinging: clinging to sensual pleasures, clinging to views, clinging to rules and observances, and clinging to a doctrine of self. With the arising of craving, there is the arising of clinging. With the cessation of craving, there is the cessation of clinging. The way leading to the cessation of clinging is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood clinging, the origin of clinging, the cessation of clinging, and the way leading to the cessation of clinging, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands craving, the origin of craving, the cessation of craving, and the way leading to the cessation of craving, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is craving? What is the origin of craving? What is the cessation of craving? What is the way leading to the cessation of craving? There are these six classes of craving: craving for forms, craving for sounds, craving for odors, craving for flavors, craving for tangibles, craving for mind objects. With the arising of feeling, there is the arising of craving. With the cessation of feeling, there is the cessation of craving. The way leading to the cessation of craving is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood craving, the origin of craving, the cessation of craving, and the way leading to the cessation of craving, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands feeling, the origin of feeling, the cessation of feeling, and the way leading to the cessation of feeling, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is feeling? What is the origin of feeling? What is the cessation of feeling? What is the way leading to the cessation of feeling? There are these six classes of feeling. Feeling born of eye contact. Feeling born of ear contact. Feeling born of nose contact. Feeling born of tongue contact. Feeling born of body contact. Feeling born of mind contact. With the arising of contact, there is the arising of feeling. With the cessation of contact, there is the cessation of feeling. The way leading to the cessation of feeling is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood feeling, the origin of feeling, the cessation of feeling, and the way leading to the cessation of feeling, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhu is delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands contact, the origin of contact, the cessation of contact, and the way leading to the cessation of contact, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is contact? What is the origin of contact? What is the cessation of contact? What is the way leading to the cessation of contact? There are these six classes of contact: eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, mind contact. With the arising of the sixfold base, there is the arising of contact. With the cessation of the sixfold sense base, there is the cessation of contact. The way leading to the cessation of contact is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has understood contact, the origin of contact, the cessation of contact, the way leading to the cessation of contact, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhu is delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands the sixfold base, the origin of the sixfold base, the cessation of the sixfold base, and the way leading to the cessation of the sixfold base. In that way, he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is the sixfold base? What is the origin of the sixfold base? What is the cessation of the sixfold base? What is the way leading to the cessation of the sixfold base? There are these six bases: the eye base, the ear base, the nose base, the tongue base, the body base, the mind base. With the arising of mentality, materiality, there is the arising of the sixfold base. With the cessation of mentality, materiality, there is the cessation of the sixfold base. The way leading to the cessation of the sixfold base is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood the sixfold base, the origin of the sixfold base, the cessation of the sixfold base, and the way leading to the cessation of the sixfold base, He here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhu is delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands mentality, materiality, the origin of mentality, materiality, the cessation of mentality, materiality, and the way leading to the cessation of mentality, materiality, in that way, he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is mentality, materiality? What is the origin of mentality, materiality? What is the cessation of mentality, materiality? What is the way leading to the cessation of mentality, materiality? Feeling, perception, volition, contact, and attention. These are called mentality. The four great elements and the material form derived from the four great elements. These are called materiality. So this mentality and this materiality are what is called mentality, materiality. With the arising of consciousness, there is the arising of mentality, materiality. With the cessation of consciousness, there is the cessation of mentality, materiality. The way leading to the cessation of mentality, materiality is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood mentality, materiality, the origin of mentality, materiality, the cessation of mentality, materiality, and the way leading to the cessation of mentality, materiality, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhu is delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands consciousness, the origin of consciousness, the cessation of consciousness, and the way leading to the cessation of consciousness. In that way, he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is consciousness? What is the origin of consciousness? What is the cessation of consciousness? What is the way leading to the cessation of consciousness? There are these six classes of consciousness: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, mind consciousness. With the arising of formations, there is the arising of consciousness. With the cessation of consciousness, there is the cessation of consciousness. The way leading to the cessation of consciousness is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood consciousness, the origin of consciousness, the cessation of consciousness, the way leading to the cessation of consciousness, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhu is delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands formations, the origin of formations, the cessation of formations, and the way leading to the cessation of formations, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what are formations? What is the origin of formations? What is the cessation of formations? What is the way leading to the cessation of formations? There are these three kinds of formations: the bodily formation, the verbal formation, the mental formation. With the arising of ignorance, there is the arising of formations. With the cessation of ignorance, there is the cessation of formations. The way leading to the cessation of formations is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood formations, the origin of formations, the cessation of formations, and the way leading to the cessation of formations, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands ignorance, the origin of ignorance, the cessation of ignorance, the way leading to the cessation of ignorance, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what is ignorance? What is the origin of ignorance? What is the cessation of ignorance? What is the way leading to the cessation of ignorance? Not knowing about suffering, not knowing about the origin of suffering, not knowing about the cessation of suffering, not knowing about the way leading to the cessation of suffering. This is called ignorance. With the arising of the taints, there is the arising of ignorance. With the cessation of the taints, there is the cessation of ignorance. The way leading to the cessation of ignorance is just this Noble Eightfold Path. When a noble disciple has thus understood ignorance, the origin of ignorance, the cessation of ignorance, and the way leading to the cessation of ignorance, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Saying, good friend, the bhikkhus delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has unwavering confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. When, friends, a noble disciple understands the taints, the origin of the taints, the cessation of the taints, the way leading to the cessation of the taints, in that way he is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has unwavering confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. And what are the taints? What is the origin of the taints? What is the cessation of the taints? What is the way leading to the cessation of the taints? There are these three taints: the taint of sensual desire, the taint of being, and the taint of ignorance. With the arising of ignorance, there is the arising of the taints. With the cessation of ignorance, there is the cessation of the taints. The way leading to the cessation of the taints is just this Noble Eightfold Path. That is right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right collectiveness. When a noble disciple has thus understood the taints, the origin of the taints, the cessation of the taints, and the way leading to the cessation of the taints, he entirely abandons the underlying tendency to lust. He abolishes the underlying tendency to aversion. He extirpates the underlying tendency to the view and conceit, I am. And by abandoning ignorance and arousing true knowledge, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has unwavering confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. This is what the Venerable Sariputta said. The bhikkhus were satisfied and delighted in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Or right view, or effective vision. It starts with, first and foremost, knowing what is wholesome and knowing what is unwholesome. This is the beginning of right view. This is the right view of one who is still in training, of one who has begun the path. Once one understands what is unwholesome and what is wholesome, then one can enter into the path and with this initial right view, be able to walk the different steps of the Eightfold Path, which culminate into right collectiveness or effective collectiveness. So, here, Sariputta first begins with the unwholesome and the wholesome, understanding what is the unwholesome, which arises from not following one's precepts. And so they come in the form of hindrances in one's mind, whether it is in meditation or outside of meditation. Knowing the root of this unwholesome, one can then understand how to let go and prevent and let go the arising of the unwholesome. So once you begin to follow the precepts, once you begin to follow right intention, or effective choice, effective speech, effective action, or effective behavior, and effective livelihood, you are beginning to develop the right view even further. And so this develops and cultivates a mindset that then inclines towards the wholesome. Once you begin to cultivate and follow the precepts, and you continually do this with right intention, with right action, with right speech, with right behavior, then the mind is ripe for being mindful in the correct manner, in having effective observation within the meditation and in one's daily life. And so once you start to develop and generate the wholesome by understanding and using right intention, which is to cultivate an attitude and intention of harmlessness, of loving kindness, of the Brahmaviharas, and of letting go, you are then able to be mindful in the correct manner. You are able to understand where mind is in any given moment, what the body is feeling in any given moment, what mental states are arising and passing away in every given moment. With such a mindfulness, this allows one to enter deeper into the meditation practice, thereby entering the effective collectedness or entering into the jhanas and the higher jhanas. It's after this one begins to, with the meditation practice and the effective observation, be able to realize bit by bit how mind works and in what ways to bring mind back to a wholesome state and to a state that is rooted in the ultimate right view, which is the understanding and experience of the Four Noble Truths. And this happens when one is both in the meditation as well as in daily living. It's through this pure awareness of effective observation without forcing onto it any projections of what need to be done or what does not need to be done. In other words, just being purely conscious and aware of what is arising in the mind, in the body, in the mental states, and in the way of sensations or feelings in any given present moment. Once this is done, one is aware of what sensations are arising, and there is an understanding of there is an arising of the sensations. There is an arising of this feeling. By understanding the arising of whatever might be arising, even if it is craving, even if it is clinging, even if it is being, where one's mindfulness is not sharp enough yet to see the feeling and understand the feeling arising as impersonal, therefore not worth holding on to and causing suffering through ignorance, and is getting caught up in craving or clinging or being or any other of the links further down, there should still be some level of mindfulness where one is able to recognize first and foremost that this has arisen. And then by understanding that this was caused by something prior to this. In other words, when one understands that there was a getting caught up in feeling and having been getting caught up in craving, meaning taking something personal or attaching a sense of self to it with desire and lust for it, meaning the I want it attitude, the I want more of it attitude, or not wanting more of it, or the I don't want it attitude, then one can then see that it was the taking of this personal that caused the craving. It's the taking of this personal in these ways of the feeling that caused the craving. One then uses the third noble truth, which is letting go. So one has first understood that this craving has arisen. Then one releases the attention from it and lets go of that craving and relaxes the tension caused by that craving. And then understands that there was a slight misperception of what that feeling was, in that it is actually impersonal. It is actually impermanent and therefore not worth holding onto or considering it to be something that provides lasting happiness. So when one practices the 6R process in this way, one first and foremost knows what has first arisen in the mind, then the origin of this, whatever has arisen in the mind, and can then let go of what was the cause of that arising. By letting go of it, one experiences that mundane nibbana, the letting go of and not grasping onto whatever the causes and conditions had caused whatever arose in the present moment. And one does this by practicing the 6 R's or right effort. And essentially this comes to be when one understands and walks and follows the Eightfold Path, which is the way leading to the cessation of that craving and therefore the cessation of that suffering. And so the Eightfold Path goes hand in hand with the six-hour practice, or with the practice of using right effort, using effective application, in other words, using effective choice, using effective observation or right mindfulness within the context of effective collectedness if one is practicing meditation, and within the context of day-to-day living. So mindfulness or observation should be developed to that point where when the feeling arises, that underlying tendency to attach a sense of self has to be let go. That underlying tendency to attach a sense of self that wants more of it should be let go. And that underlying tendency of a sense of self that averts from it, that does not want more of it, and therefore is craving for another reality instead of understanding the reality of the situation as it is, that needs to be let go. And that is let go through right effort and effective application, having first and foremost understood what is arising through effective observation or right mindfulness. And then by applying effectively these different steps of the path, one lets go and one stops grasping onto it. And then it develops the understanding of the Four Noble Truths. And as one begins to cultivate and develop this mindfulness by not pushing, by not trying to develop it in such a way that you force the mind to see what is going on, but allow the mind to unravel, to unfold, and then see what arises. And in that arising, applying the principles of the Four Noble Truths, in essence, applying and understanding the arising itself, the origin of that arising, and the cessation of whatever has arisen within the context of meditation or within the context of daily living in one's any given present moment. And then using the process of the six R's, or using the right effort with right mindfulness, or using effective application and effective choice with effective observation to let go of the cause of whatever has arisen. In that letting go, you experience Nibbana. In letting go and not grasping, you experience Nibbana. And so as you go deeper into the practice, as you get deeper into the jhanas and the higher states of meditation, and stay with your mind, stay with it through observation, through mindfulness, you begin to see deeper and deeper layers of the mind. And these deeper and deeper layers of the mind include the links of dependent origination. So you begin at what has arisen, and you understand it, let it go, and then understand the origin of it, and then bit by bit get even deeper. You understand how craving arose. You let go of that craving and understand the cause of that craving was taking personal the feeling that might have arisen. You then look at that feeling that might have arisen, and if it causes you to sway from your observation of your object or vehicle of meditation, you let go of that distraction as well, and you come back to observing. By doing this, you also are practicing what is known as attention rooted in reality. This is also known in Pali as yoniso manasikara. That is understanding reality as it is through the source point of what has arisen. And by doing so, you are also applying the factor of investigation. By understanding that something has arisen, letting mind unravel so that you see for itself what is the cause of the arising, letting go of it, and then further and further getting deeper until you get to the level of formations, which generally you will start to see in subtler and subtler forms in the seventh and eighth jhana. And it is at this point that you have to deal and use the enlightenment factors, the seven enlightenment factors, in order to stay with the balanced mind. Using the investigation of principles factor and using mindfulness in this way, you begin to let go of subtler and subtler formations to the point that you are now practicing the art, if you will, of letting go. You have almost automated letting go to the point that whatever arises, you can immediately let go of, understand how it arose, and then come to that cessation of that arising, come to the cessation of craving, come to the third noble truth, which is Nirodha, which is then ultimately translated to, from the meditation practice, the cessation of perception and feeling. But on the mundane level, on the level of day-to-day living, this can also be experienced. The third noble truth can be experienced every time you understand what has arisen and let go of it, and then let go of the origin of it and come to a deeper and deeper level of stillness within the mind and experience that Nibbana from having let go, from non-grasping. Thereby, when you come to the eighth jhana in the meditation practice and these subtler formations arise, don't allow your mind to get distracted and then come out of the eighth jhana and then therefore become completely distracted. Just understand that it has arisen, release your attention from it, and let go of it. In the process of letting go, what you are doing is weakening those formations which are rooted in the taints, which then influences the causal link of ignorance, which causes the entire flow of dependent origination and ends in suffering. Instead of allowing the mind to get distracted by these and thereby instead letting go of the formations, you're reconditioning the mind. You're weakening the fetters. You're weakening the taints or the defilements, or as I like to call it, the viruses or projections of sensual craving, which influences the craving that arises by taking personal the feeling. And it's a feedback loop between the taint or the defilement or projection of sensual craving and the link of craving within dependent origination. And then similarly, the craving for existence or being, which is also the accumulated tendencies. The accumulation of tendencies is clinging, which then solidifies into the accumulated tendencies, which one takes personal and then says that this is me, this is mine, this I am, which further strengthens the fetter of conceit and thereby influences and strengthens those formations which will continue to fuel the fetters of that conceit. This is rooted in the defilement and projection of the craving for being, or the craving for existence, for holding onto a sense of self in some form of identity. Then finally, you have ignorance, which is the ignorance of the Four Noble Truths, not able to apply what we just talked about, the principles of the Four Noble Truths, in whatever is arising. And by not knowing this, you further feed the defilement and projection of ignorance, which further solidifies and strengthens the fetter of ignorance, which continues to influence those particular formations which will make you create choices that will further then create and strengthen more formations that further deepen that ignorance. So applying the Four Noble Truths in this manner, understanding how mind works and what arises in that mind, and then applying the Four Noble Truths in this way, you further weaken the fetters of ignorance and thereby break them and thereby no longer allow and destroy the taint or defilement of ignorance. When this happens, there will be formations that arise in a released mind. But when they arise, they are no longer fettered by craving, conceit, or ignorance. And these three fetters, which were being influenced and strengthened by the defilements and projections, respectively, of sensual craving, of being or craving for existence, or holding onto a sense of identity, and the taint of ignorance. When these are destroyed, the fetters of those particular defilements, which continue to influence the formations, are also destroyed. So then whatever formations arise are thereby considered to be pure in that sense. And so the formations that arise will be influenced by the contact that arises, but it no longer will be taken to be as oneself. It will no longer be taken as personal, and therefore through wisdom, it is that right view of having experience, of having cultivated and experienced the Four Noble Truths, that this right view, this ultimate, elevated, perfected right view will replace that link of ignorance and will therefore influence the formations, the consciousness that is activated through those formations, the mentality and materiality through which that consciousness flows, and the sixth sense base and the feeling or experience of the sixth sense base, so that one always in that released mind understands feeling to be not me, not myself, not mine. And therefore doesn't even have to let go of it. It is just the pure experience of it, which does not allow, and it makes impossible for any of the links of craving, clinging, being, birth, aging, and death to arise. And therefore suffering is fully destroyed in that sense by having fully realized the Four Noble Truths and established oneself, so to speak, established the mind in this right view or effective vision.